Maybe.
So I'm going to be talking about this whole discussion about water use reduction, but in a kind of a different context. So we're specifically looking at how you can balance the need to reduce water with the need to manage pathogens, and how do you co-manage water and plant pathogens in nursery systems. So as we've been talking about at length, nursery growers want to reduce their water inputs. There's a lot of water that's going into these systems, 14 to 19,000 gallons of water per acre per day, and there's a lot of use constraints. So we've got competition between human, industrial, and agricultural use needs. There's increased drought frequency in many areas of the country, depleting water such as on-site well water, and this is leading to reductions in water allocations in many areas, reduced availability of high-quality water, which is important both for pathogens as well as for the overall health of the plant, and increasing costs of water. So precision irrigation, which we've been talking about at length, is a great tool to reduce water inputs, as Andrew just talked about. It's pretty clear when you need to turn the water on. The pot's dry and you need to water it. But as John likes to say, and I think it's a great way to put it, it's hard to know when to turn the water off, right? So we can use soil moisture sensors, like Andrew was talking about, to kind of get a sneak peek of what's going on in that pot, and then to irrigate only to that minimum necessary soil moisture level that you need. So there's been a lot of work that's gone into figuring out what is that minimum that you need, and we've found that you can impose even a mild stress without affecting yield or quality, and this can really reduce your water inputs. So we know a lot about the physiological dimensions of reduced irrigation, but the effects on pathogens are not as clear, and this can be an obstacle for growers who have big pathogen problems, since they are aware that there are some risks involved in stressing out the plants, and they are more concerned about managing the disease than maybe reducing their water inputs. They don't want to adopt these methods as readily. So we wanted to help overcome these obstacles by addressing this co-management need for managing diseases with water. Pathogen management is obviously a very high priority in containerized nursery crops for the obvious reason that pathogens kill plants, and then you get a reduction in saleable crops. They can also, especially nursery industry, not just kill plants, but they can render plants not marketable just by causing cosmetic damage in some cases. And then there's a slightly more subtle but very large impact, and this is something that Jennifer Park talked about a few days ago, if you were at that meeting, or that session, and that's that the nursery trade is one of the main ways that pathogens have been able to move around. A lot of plants get sold, they look healthy, they look fine, but they're infected with pathogens, and we call this like latent infection. And so we've had movement of new pathogens and new pathogen strains all around the country and the world, and this has had big impacts both economically and ecologically. So when we think about co-managing water use, there's several potential outcomes when you want to say, I want to manage water, I want to manage pathogens, I want to reduce my water inputs. What are the effects on the pathogens? One possible outcome is that there might be a benefit of decreasing water inputs. So bear in mind that nearly all pathogens require water for some stage of the infection process, the disease cycle. And some require it more than others, such as the oomycetes shown here, where you've got swimming spores that can't even get anywhere unless there's free water. So we might have an effect of suppressing root infections. And then, as we were just hearing about, we've got also potential to reduce runoff, which that runoff not only can contain pesticides, it can contain pathogens. And so that could be a benefit, especially if growers want to recycle their water. Okay, but of course, as I mentioned, there are some risks. So reducing water, if it gets too dry, that can hurt the roots, it can wound the roots, and then that can allow infections to occur in those wounds. So that's one way that we might have increased disease pressure. But there's also this more physiological response where we know that even a mild plant stress can alter the plant's defenses against pathogens. So there's this antagonism between our abscisic acid pathways for drought response and our salicylic acid pathways for pathogen defense, and they're antagonistic. So we can have a predisposition where when we stress the plants, they become more susceptible to the pathogen, even if that plant is first well-watered so that it's able to return to a healthy state, it's still going to be more susceptible to that pathogen. So there is actually surprisingly little done to look at the interactions between reduced water use and pathogens, and so we had to start with some very basic questions in understanding these interactions. And so first question, really broadly, was just, does reducing soil moisture alter interactions between these container plants and pathogens? And then to get a little bit more into the nuances of this interaction, we wanted to know, does the timing and duration influence this interaction? So we looked specifically at oomycete pathogens, which I just briefly mentioned, and these are water molds, is the common name. These are some of the most problematic nursery crop pathogens in the U.S. They cause a lot of disease problems, crown rots and root rots, foliar diseases. They love eating plants. It's their happy place. And then they have very wide host ranges. So they, in these really diverse nursery systems, you can have one pathogen that's affecting a lot of different crops. We specifically, for this purpose of this study, looked at Phytophthora capsici, and this is a definitely a problematic pathogen in certain nursery crops. And the reason that we picked it was specifically that it has a really well-studied relationship with tomatoes under drought. And this is actually where that predisposition interaction was first described. So this is a really good system to start asking these basic questions. And that's the crown rot caused by Phytophthora capsici right there. So I'm not going to go too much into the details of the sensor network since Andrew did such a nice job with that. But basically to address that first question about the overall effects of reducing soil moisture on plant pathogen interactions, we use the same sensor network irrigation system that Andrew just described with 8 sensors total in each treatment, 2 sensors per treatment per block. This was a similar randomized complete block design. This system, basically, we set different set points for each irrigation treatment. That information would go into the MIOM SensorWeb program, which would then determine whether or not to irrigate based on whether or not we were at that set point. So we looked at 3 different irrigation treatments, and this was in a sand-based substrate. And I can go into why that is if you're interested afterwards. So first we looked at a saturated treatment, which was 20% volumetric water content. Then we reduced it just a little bit to 15% volumetric water content. We called that our mild soil moisture reduction. And then to 10%, which was a moderate soil moisture reduction. And then we inoculated the plants with Phytophthora capsici, or we didn't treat them, and that was the non-inoculated. Okay, so first, looking at the effects of these interactions on turgor pressure in the plant measured based on leaf water potential, in the non-inoculated plants, which is all you're seeing here, there was not a significant difference in the turgor pressure across the different irrigation treatments. And this is consistent with the physiological work that's been done, suggesting that these treatments, like reducing soil moisture, doesn't harm the plants. That's consistent. That's good. The interaction changed when we added the pathogen. So that's the blue bars there. And what we saw was that in looking at those blue bars from 20 to 15, there wasn't a difference. But when we went to 10, the turgor pressure, the leaf water potential significantly decreased. And that wasn't due to the moisture treatment because there was a significant differentiation between the pathogen treated and the non-inoculated plants. So it was significantly lower in the pathogen treated at that 10% VWC. Looking at the condition of the plants, you can see that looking first, it's at the 15%, the plants look pretty good when they're not inoculated. When we reduced down to 10% VWC, they didn't look as good. Yeah, so that wasn't great. We did see that there was some abiotic stress in that treatment. Going then to the inoculated plants, surprisingly, we saw something similar. The 15% VWC still looking pretty good. 10% VWC, not so great. And then comparing inoculated and non-inoculated, so again, the inoculated are the blue bars there. For the 20 and the 15 inoculations, inoculating increased the incidence of plant decline, so our pathogen treatment worked. That was good. When we got to the 10% VWC, we saw a significant increase in the incidence of plant decline in the pathogen treatment, but we also saw that in the non-inoculated plants. So there wasn't really a significant difference between them, suggesting that for this parameter, abiotic stress was the main driver of decline. Okay, but we looked a little more in depth, as that may not be the best indicator of health, so we looked at different aspects of physiology. Total root area had similar trends, actually, with a reduction in total root area in both inoculated and non-inoculated plants at that 10% VWC. But when we looked at the percent of the root system that was discolored or had root rot, which is shown here as the percent of the root system discolored, we saw that it was significantly greater in the inoculated plants, and that there was this differentiation where at 10% VWC, the root rot was significantly greater in the inoculated than the non-inoculated plants. So here we do see an interaction between reducing water use and the pathogen. Mm-hmm. Okay, other growth parameters that we looked at, like stem growth, total leaf area, shoot biomass, none of those were significantly affected by either irrigation or pathogen treatment, and there wasn't a significant interaction between the two treatments. So that's on the plant side. We also looked on the fungus side. And so for this, we took symptomatic and asymptomatic, or healthy-looking plants, and we collected 10 roots from each of those plants. We did this for a subset of plants within each treatment. And then we quantified the percent of the 10 roots that we collected that were colonized by Phytophthora capsicae. So first, looking at the symptomatic plants, and these are all inoculated, looking at the symptomatic plants that are the blue bars, we didn't see any difference in the incidence of colonization. The percent of the roots were all colonized at similar levels. But when we just looked at the asymptomatic, which is the red bars, we saw a different kind of relationship, where as we decreased soil moisture, the percentage of the roots that were colonized in these asymptomatic plants went up, and there was a significant difference between the saturated treatment and the 10% volumetric water content treatment. So it appears that these treatments are influencing, that reducing soil moisture is influencing these asymptomatic or latent infections, which, as I mentioned, are a big quality concern in the industry. Okay. So overall, it looks like 10% is a little, VWC reduction. That might be a little bit too extreme, at least based on some measures. But the mild soil moisture reduction, the 15% VWC, that seemed to be A-OK. All the plants were perfectly happy. And looking at the water use coming out of that treatment, which we measured using flow meters, we saw a reduction in about 20%. It was around 18% water use reduction. So we did save water. Okay, so to look a little more detail at this 15% VWC, this potentially ideal treatment that could co-manage the need to reduce water and pathogens, we wanted to know, does timing matter in applying these reduced treatments? And so for this, we looked at imposing that reduced moisture treatment at three stages: late vegetative, which was the youngest, and we applied it for until the plants were 18 weeks old. We applied it flowering until the plants were 18 weeks old and at early fruit set. And then we let them all recover. And so the idea there was to look just at the physiological effects of this treatment on the plant's ability to resist the pathogen. So they were well watered for a week, and then we inoculated them. Either we added infested millet or we didn't inoculate. And we did millet in this case since the plants were much older, and we were concerned we wouldn't get symptoms. Okay, and so what we saw here, this is again looking at root system discoloration on the y-axis here, and we've got the three developmental stages: late vegetative, flowering, and early fruit set. And I don't know if I love the wording here, because it makes it sound like it's the opposite of what it is. So this is the youngest, middle, and these are the oldest plants, right? Okay, so there was no difference in the percent of roots discolored or root rot in the non-inoculated plants. Not surprising, they weren't inoculated. But when we looked at the inoculated plants, there was a significant increase in the extent of root system discoloration when the plants were put onto that reduced treatment earlier on. And that we can't separate out developmental stage from duration here, right, because they were on that reduced irrigation treatment for longer as well, okay? However, bear in mind that the incidence or the percentage of roots discolored here was quite low, as high as 5%. That's really low. And when we looked at just total root biomass and what's happening there, we didn't see any significant differences in those treatments. So putting this all back together again and thinking about how to reduce water inputs and manage pathogens, we feel this data suggests that there's a strong opportunity to reduce water inputs without increasing root disease risk, and that there's going to be some factors that I think we can add in as recommendations if growers want to start reducing their water inputs. Timing and duration is important, so applying it later for a shorter time period may be a way to ease in to using reducing your water use using these systems. The adaptive irrigation practices that we're using for water need to consider pathogen impacts. So we did see that when the pathogen was present, if we reduced water too much, we enhanced disease risk, we enhanced root rot. And this is indicating that we need to look at more than the physiological information in order to evaluate the needs and the risks associated with these treatments. We also found, and this is a bit harder to address management-wise, that reducing soil moisture also increased the risk of latent infections in nursery crops. These are really hard to manage. You don't know that you have latent infections. It's really hard to detect them. So making recommendations to growers on how to manage this, we're going to have to put some thought into. So I think I'm good. So we want to, kind of wrap up with just showing you guys a little bit of what we're trying to do to help growers to take this information and use it so that they can feel good about using these precision techniques to meet their water use constraints. One is that we're working on developing irrigation recommendations that incorporate pathogen management methods. In order to do that, we need to know what pathogens are affected and what are not. We don't even know. Are all pathogens going to follow the same patterns as Phytophthora capsicae? Very unlikely. So what are the pathogens that we should be targeting in trying to help growers co-manage these issues? So we're conducting a microbial community study, and this is being done in potted poinsettias. And what we're looking at there is what are the genera with pathogenic species in them that are being influenced by water use reductions. And we're finding that there are definitely some groups of fungi that are affected and some that are not. We're also working right now to identify low-risk substrates, and that's with John and Andrew and Brooke. And this is in a peat, comparing peat and core as well as bark. And that's work being conducted by our technician, Justine. And then lastly, and this is a little bit more of an aside, but we have this hypothesis that we might be able to use plant growth and enhancing microbes. Some of these also enhance drought stress tolerance. And so we are already using these for controlling diseases. Maybe these would also be beneficial in helping to control disease under reduced water inputs. And so this is work that's actually showing a bit of promise. We have some results suggesting that adding biologicals such as this Bacillus subtilis, which is called companion, can actually increase plant growth when they're inoculated with the pathogen and exposed to lower water inputs. So firstly, I have to acknowledge Joanna Del Castillo, who was the postdoc who did all the work for this project. But of course, all of the Clean Water 3 folks at Maryland who worked with us on this, and our authors on our forthcoming paper, Jennifer Park, and all of the students in our lab, but in, especially the collaborating growers and our advisory board. They really provided a lot of input for us as we tried to navigate our way through this sort of unusual realm of plant pathology, at least for me. And then, of course, acknowledging our funding source, the USDA NIFA SCRI, and the Clean Water 3 group. So, thank you for your attention. I'll take any questions.
One question.
Yeah, John. So by using fungicides? Yes, absolutely. So, and that's sort of part of why we want to identify what organisms growers should be targeting, is that if they want to reduce their water inputs and they know, oh, these are the pathogens that could be affected, they can up their management regime for those pathogens. And that's exactly the idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you.